Every hour the enemy pushes closer.
Dunkirk, rated PG-13.
What's going on, you guys? Ryan Nilsson here. Another review with the movie Dunkirk this summer. Hope you guys are having a good day. It's about to storm outside. Another stormy review. Let's get right into it. Christopher Nolan's new film, Dunkirk. Gotta talk about Christopher Nolan for a bit. Like all my other reviews, I'll give you a general synopsis, thoughts, and then I'll give you a spoiler alert warning in case you haven't seen the movie. So if you haven't seen it, you can listen to the review and just tune out after I give you the spoiler alert. Christopher Nolan's new film, Dunkirk. So Christopher Nolan actually means a lot to me. He is somewhat responsible for me getting into movies, into film. When I saw Inception in 2010, it kind of blew me away. It was one of the first movies I've ever seen that sort of showed me the potential film could have. I was talking about it right after we got out of the theater with my brother and my dad. It just blew me away. I loved that movie so much. There was so much that went on that I'd never seen before. It felt like such an original story, an original heist film, and it blew me away. And ever since then, you know, I checked out all of his other movies, you know, the Dark Knight trilogy, the Insomnia, Memento, The Prestige, and what else, and even Interstellar. So he's become one of my favorite filmmakers ever, and he's somewhat responsible for me getting into movies. Now, with that being said, I'm not a Christopher Nolan fanboy. I'm not a lover of all of his movies. I'm not going to go into his movie like, oh, I'm going to love this no matter what. There are a few of his movies I don't like. But overall, I think he's one of the best filmmakers in the biz today. I mean, this is a guy who, he makes artistic blockbusters. And the only other filmmaker I can actually think who does that is Steven Spielberg, at least in his heyday. He would make artistic blockbusters, really well-made films that made tons of money. And Christopher Nolan usually makes a movie every 2 years. This is the first film that's taken 3 years for him to make. And I think this is the movie I was least hype of his going into. You know, for the Dark Knight movies, when Dark Knight Rises came out, went to the theater midnight, saw the trilogy with all my friends. We were so hyped. And then what else did we do? Then for Interstellar, again, met up with a bunch of my friends, went to go see it at midnight, IMAX, blew me away. For Dunkirk, I wasn't that hyped. I was avoiding the trailers, because that's just what I do with his marketing, even though he cuts his own trailers, just so he doesn't give anything away. And I did see it in IMAX, and I actually got the privilege while we were on our big vacation in Australia. I got to see it at the biggest IMAX theater on Earth, and it had a film projector, 70mm IMAX. Wow. So I was kind of just going to see it for that experience, not really the movie. I was like, oh, I want to see a movie in IMAX, the biggest IMAX theater on Earth, and you know what? I'll do Dunkirk. Wow, this movie blew me away. First of all, like I said, I tried to avoid the trailers, but working in a movie theater, I get to see them. Marketing was solid. I didn't know much about the movie going in. I just knew it was an evacuation of British soldiers, and they have to get off the beach of Dunkirk. That's all I knew. Wow. So this movie, it's about 400,000 British soldiers who are stuck on the beach of Dunkirk. German soldiers are closing in, and they have a lack of vessels to get them off the island and back to Great Britain. So they send like one or two vessels, you know, every day, and usually they get taken down by U-boats or dive bombers. So they have a huge problem. And the general, played by Kenneth Branagh, he's kind of all right with it. Like, there's a scene where I think it's James Darcy, the actor James Darcy, goes up to him and he's like, why don't they send more ships? He's like, they're saving them for the next battle. He's just very, you know, matter of fact. And yeah, like it's a really, really cool movie because it felt very accurate and it told the story of an event I was very unfamiliar with. And it was kind of an unbelievable event. Like this World War II movie, I can understand why it wasn't made, because in the hands of a lesser filmmaker, it's really boring. But everything Christopher Nolan does in this movie is just why he's one of the best filmmakers, I think, of all time now. I think he's in that discussion, because this is his most original film he's done yet. And this is the guy who did Inception and Interstellar. I think this is his most original film because of how he directs this movie. Now, This is not like any war film you've ever seen before, and not like any other Christopher Nolan movie you've seen. In fact, if you're a Christopher Nolan fanboy and you're hoping to go see a movie with like great characters and awesome scenes of dialogue, this might not be the movie for you. But if you're a big fan of World War II movies and originality, this is the movie for you. And I think Christopher Nolan does something really cool and similar to what Edgar Wright did with Baby Driver, in that he makes a movie so different from all of his other films, but you can tell it's a Christopher Nolan movie. However, unlike Baby Driver, my thoughts on Baby Driver, I thought this might be one of his best movies ever. And I'm going to get into that right now. So this movie's done three story viewpoints: air, land, and sea. It avoids so many war film tropes. There's no, you know, sit down dialogue discussion between a bunch of soldiers. Oh, you got a girl back home? Yeah, my family's waiting for me. So you like get immediately connected with the characters. None of that. This movie, dialogue wise, is nearly silent. There's not even a word of dialogue, I think, in the first 5 minutes. But this movie's extremely loud. Do not think because there's a lack of dialogue, it's not a loud movie. It is really loud. The sound is nuts. And like almost all of Christopher Nolan's movies, I jumped so many times. I mean, the first time you see one of his movies, there are moments where you jump. There's a moment in Inception where Maul just turns her head in a dream sequence and the music just peaks. And I always jump at that moment. There's a moment in Interstellar where a hatch explodes, where I jump. There's a moment in Dark Knight Rises. Every one of his movies, I jump the first time I see them. And this probably more so than all of his others. This movie's incredibly well made. It felt so realistic. And it's not gory. That's the thing. It didn't rely on an R rating. It was a PG-13 rated film. And it was almost more effective than most R-rated war films, which blew me away. And that was my number one worry going into this movie. You know, after I saw Saving Private Ryan, which is still probably my favorite war film ever made, I think that movie kind of showed, you know, it's not fun. War is terrifying. And he did that through gore. He did that through the realistic depiction of what it was like on D-Day. Now, this movie isn't D-Day, it's an evacuation film. So I don't think he needed it to be that gory. And I think it's almost more impressive for a filmmaker to convey fear, to convey that serious tone, like in Saving Private Ryan, but without the gore. I don't think this movie's better than Saving Private Ryan. It's definitely up there, though, in contention as one of the best war films ever made. So, again, you don't really get involved a lot with the characters. And some of my favorite movies of all time, in fact, are ones with great characters. So it was really impressive to me for him to make a film where I did care about the people in the movie, and there was very little exposition or details about them, which I have to imagine is actually how it is most of the time, especially in World War II. I think you're just kind of put with these other guys, and you have to rely on one another to survive. And there is a lot of cowardliness in this movie, but I think that's common. Now, this movie doesn't shy upon cowards. It kind of says, hey, they're just trying to survive. This movie's about survival. And sometimes just surviving is a win in and of itself. Now, again, in the movie, they can't really send that many vessels out because they're just getting taken out by big like dive bombers and U-boats, and everyone's drowning, and it's terrifying. So what happens is, now we're getting into spoilers, the citizens, the senior citizens and the children of Great Britain take it upon themselves to take their yachts, if they have yachts, or boats, fishing boats, and go get as many soldiers as they can from Dunkirk. And that is just unbelievable. It was such a cool moment. Now we're getting into spoiler territory. Okay, you guys, official spoiler alert. That moment when they arrive at the beach and pick up all the guys is such a cool moment. It just showed you like humanity helping each other out. I love that moment so much. And Christopher Nolan's so good at getting you to feel emotional about a group of characters just from the way he shoots them. And that is, I think, this movie's the best example of that. You know, in his other movies, he relies a lot on dialogue. He relies a lot on big explosions, events. This movie was sometimes just the way he shoots things and the little moments you get with characters and fear and how it is shot. And that's how he gets the point across, which is remarkable. Now, this movie, again, it avoids so many war film tropes, some of which Saving Private Ryan kind of made, but I still love Saving Private Ryan. But there's no scene of a soldier talking about his home. There's no scene of someone, you know, bleeding out and they're trying to like cover the blood, and then they die, and then they're like, oh my god, war is awful. There's no scene of an enemy soldier dying and them killing them and just, you know, oh my god, I'm changing, war is changing me. There's none of that. This is an evacuation film with a lot of intensity. I'm on the edge of my seat. This movie just starts. I love movies that don't waste any time in exposition. They just begin, and this movie just begins. The opening scene, when they're running away from apparently German soldiers, and almost every guy gets shot aside from one, and he escapes, and then he runs into the other guy burying the soldier, who we later learn is a Frenchman dressed up as an American soldier because he knows that the French aren't going to get on the British ships. So what was great about this movie, another thing, is it made me historically curious. I actually did research after I watched this movie because I found this event to be so fascinating, and I found out, like, the French vessels didn't come, really. They didn't come until very late, and the majority of the French soldiers died. So it was very realistic to see that character pretend to be British because he wouldn't have got off the island. He would not have got off the beach, I mean. That is, it's nuts, and it's totally real. There's even a shot in the movie when there's a British soldier who just walks into the beach, and he kind of, you know, takes his own life. He just walks right into the ocean, and that was based off of a true story Christopher Nolan heard from veterans of the battle. Now, talking about veterans of the battle, there's a video I shared on Facebook. There is a video of a veteran who was there who saw Dunkirk, and he shared his thoughts, and he thought it was so well done, so realistic. He even said the movie was louder than the actual battle, which I thought was really cool and really funny. But he said it was so well done, and that just adds another layer of realism to this movie. The fact that someone who was actually there said it was expertly well done and really realistic. I hold this movie so high up in contention of, you know, just telling a real story and making people aware of a real event. And it was kind of a movie I didn't know I wanted. You know, from the trailers, I thought we were going to get a Christopher Nolan war movie. I was really worried it was going to have a lot of gore. This was a war film I didn't know I needed. And I think it's going to change how many war films are made. Because for the past, I think, 20 years, or at least since Saving Private Ryan's been made, every war movie that's even good that comes out has a lot of gore, character development, focused on that stuff, and less about the battle, whereas this movie is 100% about the event, about the battle, and what the implications were for the majority of the men, and what they had to go through, and I found that to be incredible. Now, if there's one thing I didn't like in the movie, there's not one thing I didn't like, but there's a few things I thought he could have done slightly better. And, you know, I said there's three story viewpoints. It's constantly going back and forth between pilots in the air doing dogfights, men on a boat trying to save soldiers on the beach, and then the beach itself. It's flashing between all those three, and they're not exactly happening at the same time, but at the end of the movie, it all, you know, happened within the same, like, 2 days. It got confusing for me slightly towards the end. And again, spoilers, there's a scene where Tom Hardy, you know, he takes out the dive bomber. Incredible scene. And then he's landing. And I was kind of confused why he didn't just turn. But I think it's because he would have spun out of control because he was out of fuel. I wasn't positive. But they were kind of lining him up with the soldiers arriving at the beach back home and a bunch of other stuff. And it just felt kind of odd to see that all happening at the same time, even though it definitely didn't happen at the same time. I felt like that was a moment in the movie where he could have ended it back to back to back. He kind of did what he kind of mimicked what he did at the end of Interstellar, where he was showing Matthew McConaughey getting on the ship, the woman narrating, saying goodbye to him in the hospital bed, and Anne Hathaway on the planet. Obviously, those things didn't happen all at the same time. And I think that it worked in Interstellar because that movie's all about different time. But I think it would have worked better in this movie if it just happened in order. Tom Hardy lands, gets captured, they get on the beach, then he reads the newspaper. However, it did look kind of cool and he saved a bunch of time. But that's it, guys. For the majority of the movie, I was plugging my ears. And then my ears hurt from blocking them so much, so I just had to sit there and take it. I just took it hard, man. And there were so many amazing sequences throughout. Every air dog fight was tense as hell. The target practice in the boat, oh my god, I did not know what was going to happen. When the guy drowns to death in the boat, that was filmed so terrifyingly well. When the torpedo hits the ship, I don't know how he filmed that. I think he actually got a ship and hit it with a torpedo. And when the yachts arrived at the beach, incredible. One of the most horrific scenes I've ever seen in a Christopher Nolan movie and a war movie, when all those men are just in the ocean covered in oil and then the plane crashes and it just lights them up on fire. Wow, that would have been terrifying. The guy who was underwater and he just saw the flames above him and he just knew if he surfaced, he would burn. What? That is terrifying. And this movie, oh, just blew me away. It's unlike any of his other work. And I do think this is one of the best movies of the year. Now, I mean, a lot of people were disappointed and I don't think gravitated immediately towards this movie because of the lack of character development, because it's so different from many other war movies, and it wasn't what they expected. And I think that's what happened when people saw Man of Steel, and even what happened when people saw Dark Knight Rises. I think from the trailers, they kind of made a movie in their head, and when it wasn't what they saw on screen, they didn't like it. Now, I thought the marketing was vague enough for this movie, so I'm really surprised people are feeling that way about this movie. But I think if you really sit back and think how original this war movie was, how well directed and well done this movie was, I think you'll kind of understand, wow, that was actually one of Christopher Nolan's best movies. I mean, the fact he doesn't show a German soldier. Who makes a World War II movie and doesn't show a German soldier? That's so cool, and it worked. Like, he pulled it off until, like, the out-of-focus German soldier at the end with Tom Hardy. How do you do that? I love this movie so much. It's brilliantly well-made. I know it's July, and we got a lot of great movies coming out in the fall and in the winter, but this movie is definitely going to be in talks for Oscar contention. You know, the Academy hasn't really liked Christopher Nolan that much in the past. They gave him some love for Inception. Nothing for Interstellar, nothing for The Dark Knight aside from the Heath Ledger nomination, nothing for Memento, nothing for Insomnia. I think this might be the first movie where he really just gets a lot of nominations. I think he might get nominated for director, best editing, best picture, best score, Hans Zimmer's score. We didn't talk about that. I couldn't tell apart the score from the actual sound effects at times in this movie, and I thought that worked out brilliantly well. And also the cinematography. Oh my God, the cinematography. Beautiful. Definitely his most well-shot movie. One of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen. I saw it in 70mm. Again, gorgeous. If you can see it in IMAX or 70mm, definitely do it. Pay the extra $10 or whatever. See this movie. It's gorgeous. And it makes your heart pump, man. It makes your heart race. Again, I don't think that this will be his most beloved movie by his fans. But as a film, you know, critic and as a film lover, I loved this movie, and I would give it Dunkirk a 9.6 out of 10. I think it's one of his best movies he's ever made. I don't think it's his best. Inception's still my number one, but this is probably my number two. It is that good. So go see Dunkirk. I'd love to hear what you guys think about it. Do you agree with me? Do you think even though they didn't have as much character development as he has in many other films and many other war films, do you think it still worked for you? I think it worked remarkably well. I love this take on his World War II movie, and I cannot wait to see what he does next. Nolan delivers. That's the thing. You know what? Another word about Christopher Nolan. I know about the end the review. Just going to gush over Christopher Nolan for a little bit. The dude delivers every time. Every time. I get psyched for one of his movies, and I'm like worried I might be let down slightly. And even if he doesn't give me what I thought he was going to give me, he gives me something new and unexpected. I love this guy's body of work. He is a phenomenal filmmaker. I actually don't think he's made a bad movie. I think that he has movies that are much, much weaker than some of his others. That being, I think, The Prestige, Dark Knight Rises, and actually Interstellar. I used to love Interstellar, and upon rewatch, it's just gotten kind of worse for me. But there are great moments in that movie. Still, the guy delivers every time, and I think that makes him one of the best filmmakers in the business today and one of the best directors of all time. So, guys, please tell me your thoughts on Dunkirk. Do you think it's one of your favorite Christopher Nolan movies? Do you think it's one of your favorite war movies or not? Maybe this movie didn't work for you. Please comment below. Share this review. Comment on iTunes. Please rate me on iTunes. It's the one I'm looking for the most. And I'm Ryan Nilsson. Bye-bye.